Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Healing of Agape this week. This week, we have a man that has an absolutely brilliant mind, in my opinion. His name is Dr. Bill Rohl. How are you, Dr. Rohl?
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Could you give us a little bit about your background so everybody else will know what a wonderful mind you have?
Well, I don't know if my background will tell anybody that, but I was originally educated in Denmark, got a high school in Denmark, then went to the University of California, got a BA there, then went to Oxford University, got a B.Lit. MA there, and later on to the University of Leiden, where I got my PhD. I've written a bunch of papers, I suppose, 200 plus, four books, and numerous chapters of other books. I've been awarded the Distinguished Service Award in Parapsychology and the Tim Dinsdale Memorial Award by the Society for Psychical Exploration. So anyhow, that's a thumbnail sketch.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot. I had no idea about that. I saw you on television yesterday doing some work with Danion Brinkley.
And
I know that you do parapsychology work. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, my main interest has been working with psychics and mediums such as Mr. Brinkley. I also have investigated a number of so-called poltergeist cases and a number of so-called haunting cases.
And how do you... You had a little machine on that television show. That it was on Lifetime, I think, that I saw it on. What is that little machine that you had that you were using with them?
Well, now in investigating hauntings, I use an electromagnetometer and a geomagnetometer that measures the Earth's magnetic fields, because we have found that that hauntings are associated with anomalous electromagnetic and geomagnetic fields that are known to interact with the brain and may cause unusual experiences. These fields can also produce electrical disturbances, floating lights, and things like that that are observed at haunts.
Uh-huh.
Haunts, by the way, let me just add this. Haunts can be dangerous to human and animal health, not because people may be attacked by ghosts, but because these anomalous fields can be dangerous, indeed, life-threatening.
How would that affect, how would an electromagnetic field affect someone's health?
Well, first of all, the most electrically sensitive structures in the brain are the hippocampus that deals with memory, and the amygdala that deals with emotion. So when these are affected, a person can may experience ghosts that are sometimes interpreted as demons, and may also go into a rage. Now there are these are mostly brain events, but there are other occurrences in these homes or these sites that seem to be more damaging medically. And now this is true for only some of the cases. Other cases may have no effect or even be beneficial, but some of these sites are definitely dangerous both to mental and physical health. Animals may die. Kids may have persistent medical problems and things like that.
Really? Well, would the ghost or the entity, does it inhabit the person's electromagnetic field or simply affect it and get it off frequency?
We haven't found any evidence of ghosts or entities. In fact, when apparitions are seen, they're more likely to be of present occupants of the area, in other words, driving to your home, you may see your husband enter the garage, and then later on he drives up in the car. So here, the hippocampus is affected so that you see a memory image of your husband. You don't see your husband himself. Now sometimes people do experience actions of deceased individuals, but that seems to be that is usually when the person has seen a painting or photograph of the deceased.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm so glad you have no idea how glad I am to get this information. You know, I'm a friend of Dr. Raymond Moody's, and I had this somewhat of a near-death experience. If I didn't have to die, it just happened in a dream. And when I woke up, now I can talk to dead people that I don't know or have never heard of, and I seem to be able to detect vibrational frequencies of cells in people's body and tell them if illness is manifesting and what specific emotion is attached to it. How on earth do I do that?
Well,
because I have no idea.
Well, if you have these abilities, then you are a so-called psychic. That is, you have ESP. And
why would it just suddenly come overnight?
Well, you had some sort of what's called a near-death experience, as you say, as the term suggests, is often experienced when a person is near physical death. But it can also be released by some crisis, or perhaps spontaneous.
Well, that's what happened. It was a really bad crisis,
actually. Okay. Yeah. Well, so that would account for that. And following crisis, either physical or mental, Daniel Brinkley, as you will recall, had his near-death experience and his opening as a psychic as a result of being struck by lightning.
Uh-huh.
So things like that seem to rearrange the circuits of the brain to be open to a realm of experience that is closed to most of us.
Does it change our electromagnetic field?
Well, we don't know enough about these things, so most of that is guesswork. But I expect that as we explore the brains of people such as yourself and of Daniel, who have these abilities, then I think we're probably going to find changes from ordinary folks.
Well, you know, it's strange because the next morning after that happened to me, I woke up and I knew Daniel and I knew Raymond, and I'd never heard of either one of them.
Well, that's very interesting.
And now both of them have become my friends. It's the weirdest thing.
That's good. I'm glad.
Do you do work research into consciousness as well?
Well, this is all about consciousness.
Do you think is it possible that when this happens that the frequency of our electromagnetic field increases, maybe, as something to do with consciousness?
Well, there are two parts to the brain, and therefore of the mind. There's the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
The right hemisphere controls the left side of the brain, of the body and the brain, and it seems to be associated with psychic ability. The left brain has to do with language and sequential thinking, language, logic, and things like that, and it's more limited. As a rule, we are only conscious of what goes on in the left brain, our rational language brain. We are not conscious of what goes on in the right brain, our intuitive or psychic brain. What seems to happen for people like yourself is that there's an opening to the right side of the brain so that the person becomes more aware of what's going on there than the ordinary person.
I see. A lot of my friends always tell me when I do channel this information that I need to be scared that these negative entities can come into me. Is that true?
I think that's nonsense.
Good, that's what I thought too.
If you listen to a lot of these people and you are suggestive, you know, you may experience stuff negatively.
That it's just of your own mind.
Yes, I believe so.
That's what I thought too. Can you tell us about some of the experiences that you've had?
Well,
some of the work that you've done?
Let me just say that I published a book in 2003 called Unleashed, A Poltergeist and Murder, The Curious Story of Tina Resch, Unleashed, Poltergeist and Murder. It's available at Amazon.com. And here I go into in great detail about a particular case of what we call RSPK, Recurrent Spontaneous Psychokinesis, or Poltergeist. And previous to that, I published another book that's now been reprinted called The Poltergeist. So if people take a serious interest in these matters, they might consider getting these books.
Do you have a website that has information, or
no,
can they purchase books off a website that you have?
Well, I don't have a website.
Okay.
They can get it from Amazon.com, or they can get the books from me personally. They're both $14 plus $2 for postage and handling. But both are $16 if they want it.
And how would they contact you?
They can send a check to me, Dr. William Roll, R-O-L-L, 7106 East Isleway Court. That's spelled I-S-L-E-W-A-Y Court. Villa Rica, two words, V-I-L-L-A-R-I-C-A, Georgia, 30180.
Okay. What is a poltergeist exactly, Dr. Roll?
Well, there are two types of household disturbances. One, popularly known as poltergeist, is associated with a person and seems to be due to psychokinesis from that person. So these things, poltergeist occurrences, are person-centered, person-oriented. We now call them, or for many years they've been called, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, or RSPK. Then there's another type of occurrence known as haunts or haunting, which are place-oriented. The experiences are associated with a particular location, sometimes a house, sometimes a place in the open, while poltergeist occurrences, or RSPK, rarely lasts more than a couple of months. Haunting can go on for years and may be experienced by different occupants. And this again has to do, this again is due to this, to these anomalous electromagnetic and geomagnetic fields that permeate the site.
And is it something that you can communicate with?
There's nothing to communicate with, because
okay,
there's no intelligible being there.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, if a person supposes that there is a ghost or some sort of entity, then it follows that you can communicate with that entity, and the person may try to do so, and perhaps be rewarded. But the exchange is going to be in the person's own head. Now, if the person has ESP, as for instance you do, then the spirits may communicate real facts, as you have actually experienced. But as far as we are concerned, it really is due to your own psychic capacity. It's due to the activation of your own right hemisphere, and in your case and many other cases, brought on by some sort of trauma, physical or mental.
So am I communicating with myself, or am I really communicating with something else?
You're communicating with what you might call your higher self, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and the higher self is connected to all there is?
Well, in the first place, it's connected to people and places that you are, that are significant to you. Friends,
mm-hmm.
relatives, places you have been, your deceased relatives who are still a part of your stream of life, but shouldn't be regarded, I don't think, as independent entities floating about. They're part of, we call this bigger self.
Okay.
The self that's larger than your familiar little body, we call that bigger self, the long body. Now, the long body is, the term comes from the, it's actually an American Indian term, it comes from the Iroquois, and it refers to the tribal body, including ancestors and including physical objects connected to the tribe. And actually, this is what we find evidence for in parapsychology in general.
This is just really amazing. Well, let me ask you another question, because I'm so ignorant about my own gift. I'm just so happy to have somebody to ask. I don't seem to, like if somebody calls me up and says, can you do a reading on John Doe, and I'll call you back in an hour,
yeah.
And John Doe lives in New York.
Yeah.
I can't do that. But what I can do is I can either do John Doe face-to-face, or I can talk to him on the telephone,
yeah.
Or I can read him through someone that knows him, but I have to either be on the phone or in their presence. I just can't read on anybody I want to without being on the phone or face-to-face or connecting through a relative face-to-face or on the phone. Why is that?
Let me just ask you, have you sometimes worked with an object from the person?
I've never tried that.
Mm-hmm. You might try that. But anyhow, to come back to your question, what you describe is the way ESP actually works. There has to be a connection with somebody. The people have to there has to be a connection between their long body and yours. That's simply how ESP works. So you just, it's just as well that you haven't read anything about it because you have basically discovered that the main characteristics of ESP without the element of suggestion from others.
So you think it's the electromagnetic field of that person that I'm getting, or what is it?
Well, we don't know. I expect it is, but the only occasions we have had to measure that field isn't so... the only anomalous field we have investigated are, as I said, so-called haunts. But since the brain principally works through electromagnetism, our senses, vision is straightforward electromagnetic, and the other fields and the other senses translate sensory signals into the digital electromagnetic code of the brain that we can actually experience. So from all appearances, ESP is associated with electromagnetism.
Okay. When you go to those hauntings and things, how do you make it stop? Or do you make it stop?
I don't know that you can. And certainly exorcism doesn't help, in my experience. Now, there may be ways, physical ways, to block out these unwanted feels. But that's extremely expensive. And...
Mm-hmm.
It's uncertain how far they work.
Is it, when you find something like that, is it because there's a vortex there, or what do you think's behind it?
Well, these terms are sort of being thrown about. but I don't think the situation is that complex. I think we're just dealing with anomalous electromagnetic fields. Electromagnetism, for instance, is what we use when we turn on lights and appliances. So it's electromagnetism is just part of our life. It's part of our brains also. Geomagnetism is less well understood, but it's also a common a phenomenon in nature. It's due to partially due to sunspot and other energy from space, and partially due to anomalous peculiarities in the big magnets on which we all live and on which we are all inundated at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only when these fields are anomalous that problems may arise that can result in so-called hauntings.
Oh, okay, I see. Is it something that's really frequent around the world?
Hauntings are quite frequent, yes. Poltergeists are rare. Recurrent spontaneous kinesis is rare. Unfortunately, nobody's taking any of this stuff. Very few scientists are taking these things seriously, which means that a lot of people are suffering unnecessary mental and medical problems who live at haunts because they're told that it's due to spirits and they must have been bad to deserve these visitations. Of other reason that has nothing to do with what's actually going on.
Uh-huh. I'm not really sure that I'm clear yet on the difference between poltergeists and hauntings. What would a poltergeist do? How would that be experienced?
Well, poltergeist occurrences are really not that damaging to health. They can be extremely annoying because people's possessions get destroyed and their lives are disrupted because objects move and crash into walls or pieces of furniture turn over or there may be banging sounds and other physical incidents. But the occurrences by themselves are not seriously harmful either mentally or physically. They can be extremely upsetting, but they don't directly affect anyone's health. But as I said before, and for reasons I indicated, namely these anomalous electromagnetic and geomagnetic fields, the same is not true for hauntings. They can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And the people are actually doing this with their minds, and they just don't realize it?
That's right.
That's amazing. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, a lot of stuff that goes on in our heads we have no idea about. Most of the stuff that goes on in the right hemisphere, people have no idea about, except in a few cases like yourself and Daniel, where this comes into consciousness. But the psychic abilities are otherwise below the surface of consciousness. And it's really not surprising because the conscious brain, that's the left hemisphere that processes language and stuff like that, that works sequentially. You can only attend to one thing at a time. You may think that you can walk and chew gum at the same time, but try paying full attention to walking and chewing gum, and that's nearly impossible. So that's what guides our everyday existence, and it's good that it does, because when we cross the street, we don't want to emerge with the oncoming traffic, and when we prepare things, go to the supermarket and so on, things have to be in the precise order most of us experience. If we experience things simultaneously, if we are simultaneously aware of being two places or three places at once, we are likely to be locked up in a mental institution.
Right.
Except if you have some control over this and can deal with it, such a psychic like yourself.
Well, I know we called you late today, so you may have to go in just a few minutes. But I have one more really question that I'm dying to ask you, and that's when people become spiritually enlightened. I allege that happened to me when I had that experience, because I suddenly knew all this kind of stuff about the afterlife but basically learned about living in the moment and the oneness of all there is, and I had a giddiness about me for quite some time after that.
Yes, yes.
Like I was walking on air, for several months.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I spoke about the long body, but the long body is part of a larger body, a sort of universal body, or God, if you will, and we are part of this, and some of us who are open to this presence in ourselves may actually experience and know it. So you were blessed with this knowledge, and if that is that person, well, they're very lucky.
Well, it's luck, it's blessings and a curse at the same time, because most people think you're crazy when you try to explain it to them.
Well, that's the way all these things are.
But it has definitely been an interesting and wonderful event in my life, I have to say.
I'm very glad to know about that.
I'm sorry?
I'm very glad to know about that.
Have you had that happen?
No, I haven't. I've had other experiences, but not that.
Well, I have to say, it was the most amazing thing. I mean, for months, I literally felt like I was walking on air, and I suddenly viewed the entire world from a different perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like I loved every single person as much as I loved my own family and my kids, and it just switched like a light switch to be that way.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful, and it's extremely interesting that it happens and that it can happen. And by the way, this is in the community near death experiences. That is often how the near death, how the sort of full near-death experience culminates, namely in the feeling of union with a universal being or presence.
That's exactly what it was. Except, you know, I didn't have to die. I just had a dream.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I just didn't know how other way to describe it except for that.
No. Well, a death experience, you don't die, but it releases that aspect of yourself. So you can have these experiences, and as with other near-death experiences, yours was life transforming. Obviously, and you're very lucky for having had it, and your listeners are lucky having you do this program.
Oh, well, thanks, but it's people like you that make it happen. Well, thank you, Dr. Rowe. Is there any last thing you would tell if you could say one thing to the people of the world that would make the world a better place for consciousness, what would that be?
Well, it's as far as I'm concerned, we people in general need to be open to these larger dimensions of ourselves. And in this way, we may learn to love each other as ourselves, because actually the other person is part of ourselves. Animals, trees, plants, cars, streets, buildings, they're all it's all part of our larger self. And if more people could be aware of this larger self, war and misery would surely decline.
Well, I have to say I totally agree with you there.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I really am grateful for your time.
You're very welcome.
Agape.
And good luck with the program. And
thank you.
Best wishes.
Bye-bye.
Best wishes to all your listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rowe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.